Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So let's play that out. It's an interesting question, actually.
Yeah.
As dumb as it is,
yeah.
It's Friday, and I want to go down that rabbit hole for
a
second.
Let's go.
All right. You're picking first.
Mm-hmm.
You need a coach and a quarterback in this draft.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Harbaugh's in the draft. Mm-hmm. Mendoza, you know who's in it, right?
Yeah.
You're the Giants.
Yep.
You don't have Jackson Dart.
Don't have Jackson Dart.
Okay?
I want to be specific.
You do not have Jackson Dart.
And Jackson Dart is not in the draft. It's the current NFL.
Yeah.
Current players that would be in the draft.
Correct.
Plus the current available head coaches.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
And the Giants do not have a quarterback. Or
Giants.
Any team that we're discussing.
Yeah,
Jets, Giants, whatever.
You'll do it as a Giant fan.
Okay.
I'll do it as a Jet fan.
Okay.
And we're not going to wait till Monday for the playoff game.
Gotcha.
What we know today
what
in the moment.
What we know today.
All right. Who's your first pick?
It's not close. John Harbaugh.
Really?
Yep.
Wow.
Yep.
You would take the coach over the quarterback.
Not all the time. This particular draft, I like Mendoza.
Yeah.
I don't know if I feel strongly enough that he is the franchise guy.
Okay.
I think he has a chance to be. And if I were picking first in this year's normal NFL draft, if I were the Raiders, that would clearly be my selection. But John Harbaugh being available, the builder, the culture builder that he is, what the Giants are in need for, I would absolutely take him over Mendoza.
I think I'd probably take the coach too.
Yeah. But now, Luck was in the draft, I'd take Andrew Luck.
Well, you only get in for a couple years, though.
Well,
you know, I don't like playing football. Football's not fun.
That's
anymore.
Not true. The guy had his spleen bruised.
Oh, stop! So did Chris.
He got
Sims
his ass
and kept playing.
Yeah,
so
I understand. That's fair.
Like, what are we doing? Like, we're either football players or we're not football players.
He didn't want to. He didn't want to go through the rehab.
Football's not fun anymore. I don't want to play anymore.
Everyone's a crybaby.
Yeah, because like, yo, the last bastion of manhood on this planet is football players. They're allowed to be men.
Right.
They are. And, like, we love them because they're men. They're cavemen. It's the beauty of the sport.
Right.
And when a guy is really good, too, by the way, it's like this whole smoking out of Joe Burrow thing. Joe Burrow pisses me off. Joe Burrow's a great quarterback when he plays. Obviously, he's been hurt a lot. He's missed a lot of games, mm-hmm. right? But when Joe Burrow's on a football field, no one's going to argue he's a top three quarterback in the NFL. But I'm not having fun. Yeah, because losing sucks.
It's not even just a losing.
But you take your ball and go home.
He rehabs 80% of his career.
Right.
Like right now, like in the last three years, 75% of his career has been getting ready off an injury.
Rehabbing an injury. Like,
that
sucks. But think about Bengals fans.
There's a mental component to that.
I'm trying to tell you. You got paid $250 million.
Correct. I'm not saying you should
you
cry
about
it. You
missed half the games that you should have played for the team that drafted you.
Yeah.
Bengals fans, while stupid, are good people,
mm-hmm.
right? And they want to hear you go, I don't know if I want to play anymore. Football has to be fun or it's just not worth it.
Mm-hmm.
Is that right? How do you think a season ticket if you hold the field?
I agree.
You represent an opportunity to win. You took us to a Super Bowl. You're supposed to take us to more, right?
Mm-hmm.
Football's not fun for me anymore. I'm not sure if I want to continue to do this.
I'm not saying that you're...
Yeah.
He is a bit of a crybaby.
You
cry
had no
baby,
problem playing football
to
when they gave you $250 million.
Agreed. I'm not
saying... And signed both your wide receivers and not a damn defensive player.
I'm just saying they're human, and I can understand how difficult it is to constantly...
I wish we had a guy like Joe Burrow as the quarterback. But can you imagine... You all right over there? Could you imagine if a New York quarterback who's really good, like the best quarterback maybe we've ever had, came up and said that publicly in this town... What we would do to a guy like that, there'd be two types of people. One side would be, oh, please, Joe. Oh, please. Oh, please, we love you, Joe. We'll give you more money. What do you need? Anything to keep you on the field, Joe. And then there'd be Billy from the Bronx.
Right.
Screw you, Joe Burrow. You know, I've been smoking on that Joe Burrow for 3 years. Get out of here.
I don't disagree with your take on the fans. I'm just trying to tell you, I do understand the mental component of constantly, he's not playing. All he's doing is getting ready to play.
And he's getting a paycheck.
All he's doing is working. Yeah, I'm not saying, right. But just like you said, as a fan, you didn't expect him to go out there and win. As a player, he didn't sign up for $250 million to be in the locker room. He didn't sign up to be in the. It's not necessarily his fault.
It's not the team's fault.
It's not his fault. Stop getting hurt. Injury.
Stop getting hurt. Yo, you're brittle. I don't know what to tell you. Maybe you got osteoporosis.
Right.
It's or something like
so
that.
So it's frustrating.
I'm sure
his body is letting him down.
Oh, and I should feel bad for him.
I'm not saying you should. Look, I'm saying I understand his frustration.
You know, I feel bad for him.
I understand Andrew Luck's frustration.
I feel bad for the 25-year sanitation worker who's still got to keep working, who's got a bad back, his elbows are sore, he's got, you know, crow eyes on the side of his eyes, he's got smoker's cough,
and those things
and he still goes to work.
And those things go away if Joe Burrow's happy with making $250 million while working out.
I don't want to hear a guy making $250 complaining. That's my point.
I get it.
Like, I understand it sucks getting hurt. Rehab sucks. It's a lonely thing.
Yes.
You know, you want to be on the field. You're miserable, maybe even depressed. I buy into mental illness.
That's what I'm saying.
Mental health is a big deal, obviously, right? But at the end of the day, you cannot bitch and moan about how hard it is for you when you have 250 guaranteed.
That's fair.
Like, he don't have to throw another pass. He got 250 guaranteed. But I don't think I'm very happy playing. And, you know, my girlfriend looks like a boy. And I, shut up. You know, I bought the Batmobile, and they won't let me drive it on the streets, so I had to return it. Oh, life sucks. You talk about tone deaf. And what sucks is he's my friend. And he's a damn good quarterback.
Joe Burrow is your friend?
Yes, my buddy.
You guys are close?
Oh, yeah.
Sounds like it.
Not very close, but, you know. I treat my friends with honesty. That's why they're my friends.
Right.
I don't sugarcoat things with friends. You can't. Okay. You wouldn't be a good friend.
Right.
I tell them all the time, stop bitching. Stop your complaining. Anybody want to hear it?
Why didn't you tell him that before you went out there?
What happened?
Should have told him before he went out
there. No, I thought that he was going to just suck it up and not complain about being hurt. Yeah. And, you know, football's not fun. And, by the way, he was also talking about losing.
He was
talking about injuries.
Correct. No, it's both. It's both.
He's like, oh, it sucks to lose. Yeah, how do you think we feel?
Yeah.
Losing sucks.
Right.
But we keep showing up, right?
And so does he.
Yeah.
When he can. When he's not in the weight room trying to get,
I can't stand
from a toe injury.
Rich people who complain about their jobs when they make a lot of money doing it.
I agree. Nobody does.
Pisses me off. I don't know why.
Hal Steinbrenner pissed me off earlier this year.
What did he do?
Hal Steinbrenner complained about the $100 million he's got to give to the city. He complained about...
By the way, it's a lot of money.
I know. It is a lot of money.
Why is he giving the city $100 million?
The lease for the building.
Hold on a second.
Mm-hmm.
The Yankees are giving the city $100 mil?
Every year.
Every year.
Correct.
Huh.
Yep.
That sucks.
That sucks. But nobody wants to hear it. I think we're the exact same thing. We're arguing the same point.
I
could understand why Hal doesn't like writing a check for $100
million. But he shouldn't say it publicly.
I'm with you.
Like, it sucks to have to pay it.
Yeah.
But Yankee fans don't want to hear it. Like, remember, you play in the Bronx.
Yeah.
You ain't playing in Scarsdale.
No.
You playing in the Bronx.
Yeah.
So shut up.
Shut up.
I agree. Now, I understand privately that it's a pain in the ass, but he also knew that was the deal when they built the new stadium.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yep.
So if I was advising Hal Steinbrenner,
yep,
and they don't ask me to.
Stop talking about your bills.
Don't talk about money publicly.
Yep.
Regular average people do not want to hear rich people complain about money. We
100%.
don't. Which is why Francisco Lindor's wife being on that stupid socialist committee makes no sense at all.
Yeah.
And why the people celebrating that are stupid. Yo, she totally understands our plight. No, she doesn't.
She does not.
She doesn't.
She might she might be concerned for your plight and like to look to help it.
No, she's not.
I don't know that.
How many people is she bringing into the $22 million apartment for dinner?
As of late, she doesn't understand it. Doesn't mean she doesn't want to try
to
help
out.
She might want to help out, though.
Good, write a check. How about this? You got the money, buy a building. Move people into there for free.
There you go.
So
my train went up my train ticket went up to $3.
Yeah, I thought it was going to be free.
The subway, I certainly didn't think it was going up.
The unnamed producer told me the subway was free.
Not anymore.
It was for me this morning.
No, it wasn't. The subway?
Because the producer told me it's free, so I just went right over it.
Okay.
Yeah.
You figured free meant jump the turnstile.
There's no place to put my money. Yeah.
When you think about meal kit companies, what do you see? Probably long, complicated recipes and subscriptions you can't escape. But with the new Blue Apron, we're doing meal delivery differently. No subscription needed. Faster, easier meals. And the same dedication to quality we've always had. Shop 100+ meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
I went whoop right over that
thing.
No,
there's like a new screen just for the credit card, direct to the credit card.
Not where I got on.
Okay.
I got on at 33rd and 8th. Yeah, right in the corner. I whoop. I go, if anyone says anything, my producer told me the subways are free.
That's it.
That's what he said. He goes, good news.
This, I wish you would have told me. I've been paying $3 each way.
I ain't paying $3 to ride the subway. It's free. I was told it was free.
Yeah.
I don't know where he got that from, but free. Mm-hmm. So I'm all about that. Whoop.
Free is free for me.
Yeah. At my age, 32, it's not as easy to jump over the turnstile like it used to be. Sometimes you got to wait for someone to open up the door. And then you just sneak in the door.
You just give the person that looks like, come on.
Yeah, what are you going to do? Let me in.
Open
please.
The door.
Had a tough day. Here's Steve and Isop on the fan. Steve, what's going on, buddy?
What's up? Listen, side note. All rich people are tone deaf. Francisco's, Lindor's wife is tone deaf. Steve Cohen's tone deaf.
I don't think all rich people are tone deaf. Some are tone deaf.
Most rich people are tone deaf. Most rich people pretend to know how we feel, but they don't really care about how we feel, you know?
Well, I guess that's true. Yeah, I quit caring a few years ago.
I just want to say that the Jets, I mean, the Jets are embarrassing. There's no way that anyone got hyped up with that tweet. I actually found some information. The Jets had one of the lowest total times of offensive possession in all of the league, like 28 minutes per game.
Oh, is that right?
So the O-line was never, they were never on the field.
It's still impressive. Believe it or not, it is impressive to make it through the entire season without an injury to any of the starting five, but it's not that impressive to put out a tweet about it. And, yeah, not only were they hardly on the field, they were also down. 53% of their offensive snaps came while they were down in the game, which is
sounds like a lot.
Insane.
Sounds like they gave up a lot of points.
It's insane.
Early.
They were down. By double digits, 53%. It's it's crazy. So that's a lot of pass blocking. That's a lot less trying to bruise. It's more just standing your ground. Like there are, if you want to get into it, there's a handful of reasons why they did stay healthy. But the point is, who gives a damn?
Yeah,
you
know
won
how
three games.
I was thinking about this also on the subway coming in here today. Mm-hmm. You know how it's interesting that after the exit meeting that Mike McDaniel had in Miami, that Stephen Ross, the owner, decided to fire him. Like, apparently didn't like the answers he got, didn't like the excuses he got, whatever the case may be, right?
Yeah.
Well, so it's interesting about that there was a different story I read, I think this morning or yesterday, where in, I guess, the Jets exit meetings, that Woody Johnson was very upset that they lost five consecutive games by 23 points or more.
First ever.
And apparently didn't even go to the last three games. And Woody Johnson's a fixture of games, whether he's with his family, his son quite famously. But Woody's almost in every game, right? And I guess the story I read this morning was that he was really pissed off, as we all are, that they embarrassed themselves over the last 5 weeks of the season.
Mm-hmm.
So I was trying to think this morning on the subway, and it was kind of an empty subway, a little surprised by that this morning, coming down here.
Must be everyone's at the parade.
Yeah, maybe. They heard about the parade for having the sturdiest offensive line. It's a good point. I missed out on that.
Yeah.
It's interesting that Stephen Ross didn't like what he heard from his coach, so he fired him.
Mm-hmm.
What could Aaron Glenn have possibly have said to Woody Johnson in their exit meeting where Woody went from, I'm so embarrassed that I'm not even going to watch the last three games. You set an NFL record by losing five straight games by 23 or more. What could Aaron Glenn have said that made Woody Johnson say, I didn't consider that. You can come back.
I have no idea.
Neither do I.
I have no idea.
I got nothing.
Well, complimented on him, said,
your son's doing a great job on Reddit.
Your son's doing a great job. You were the best ambassador to the United Kingdom we've ever had.
Nothing, right?
Yeah.
It couldn't even be like, hey, we turned a corner. Remember that third quarter against the Jaguars?
Yeah. We did have that. You should see the run game. You should see the physicality that we brought to that drive. We just ran it up and down the field. I don't know.
Because I think Stephen Ross did the right thing. He didn't like the answers he got. He said, this is no longer the guy, in my opinion, that I trust to steward the franchise.
Right.
So he made a decision.
But that's the thing, and I said this the other day. Aaron Glenn is probably an impressive rah-rah, coach-him-up kind of guy, and he sold
him. But not after a three-win season, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think you can be sold on, listen, we're turning this thing around. This is what we did in Detroit. That's what you've heard echoed by a bunch of people. This is what we did in Detroit. We heard a caller earlier. They know what to do. They've been here before. They've dealt with losing. Like, that's what he's telling them. This is just like what happened in Detroit.
So,
2 years later, we were the best team in the NFC.
Yeah, that's probably exactly what he did say. I know what this looks like. You know what it smells like.
I know exactly what this looks like.
I know. And by the way, I'm seeing the same things in this locker room I saw in Detroit.
Yep.
You just got to trust me.
Yep.
Don't cut my legs out for me yet.
You traded away my two best defensive players.
Yeah,
and that's why the defense.
Of it.
You traded away my two best defensive players, and that's why the defense went to crap. But I'm telling you, we lost our star wide receiver. I'm telling you, this is exactly what it looked like in Detroit. We will have this thing turn around. This is what I do.
By the way, I want to say thanks to a longtime sponsor of the radio station and shows that I've hosted, killing it out there in Long Island, but Kitchen Cabaret swung by today and brought us a bunch of stuff for lunch for the entire staff. So I want to thank the gang over there, Kitchen Cabaret, Exit 39 off the LAE, longtime supporters of the radio station and me personally. And if you go there, you can get the official Craig Carton garlic knot prosciutto mozzarella sandwich there. Yeah.
Sounds delicious.
You had one today.
I had one. Yeah, it was good.
Yeah, good. It's great.
It's very good.
It's great. My own name sandwich there.
Yeah.
That's my goal.
They brought a whole bunch of stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, everything was delicious. Yeah. We're still enjoying the fruit.
We're
down to the fruit.
Yeah, you learn about people and their eating habits, though.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not you, but the unnamed producer.
Mm-hmm.
My man went from sushi to garlic knots to wings to, like, it's like, you know, you never ate before.
Yeah.
It was like he just got, you know, freed from a POW camp. It was like, I want everything. I want to taste it all.
Yeah.
I haven't eaten in years.
Yeah.
Oh, this is great. Oh, wings. Oh, sushi. Oh.
We had a buddy when I was a little kid. When I was in elementary school, he would eat over. His father was military, and he would eat everything. Like if we had,
compartmentalized?
I don't know, yes. Like meatloaf, mashed potatoes, and peas. All the peas. All
By the
mashed
way,
potatoes. Then all the meatloaf.
That's how I was forced to eat as a kid.
Really?
My grandfather. So my grandfather was an engineer back for during the war and worked on planes, all right, in the Newark hangars, which were military hangars, all right? And whenever we'd go see my grandma and grandpa, whatever was for dinner, it was like a weird like pet peeve of his to the point where you might have a fork thrown at you or a knife thrown at you.
If you mix things.
If you took like mashed potatoes and peas and carrots, which mixed together great. We call it shepherd's pie, right?
Yeah.
With a little meat in there too, right?
There too.
It would be a problem. Like, get away from my table.
Right.
And I'd be like, why? And he said, because you can't appreciate the taste of the carrot if it's mixed in with the potato.
Mm.
Each thing is separate. Eat them separately.
Yeah.
And if you didn't,
you got a fork to the face.
Yeah. I wasn't going to mess with that man.
No.
That was a tough man. That was a military man.
Yeah.
I want to know part of that. Yes, sir.
Yeah.
I'll eat my peas over here.
But the peas and carrots, could they be eaten together? Or was it just like, did you have to pick up the carrots and then eat the peas?
He used to make my grandmother, when she served dinner, she would have to put each plate, like it wasn't a help yourself deal.
Yeah.
But grandma's making dinner, peas over here, steak over there, carrots over there, meatloaf over there. If any food touched another food, fork right in your face.
I also had an old Italian aunt who would make... We couldn't drink anything until we were done eating.
That's weirder.
That's weirder.
Yeah.
Well, you could eat and then you could have water, apple juice, whatever.
You're Italian, right?
I am.
Yeah.
Even though I have the last
name. Did you grow up putting Coca-Cola in your red wine?
We've had this discussion.
We have?
I had never seen it in my family.
Yeah, I did.
And I asked people in my family and no.
No?
No.
Oh, yeah. My family growing up now, it was Manischewitz, but Coke in the red wine. 888-808-1019 is the phone number. It's an old school Italian thing for those of you that don't know. I'm not making it up. You can look it up. More of your calls coming up. We got the big Abdul Carter debate coming up as well.
We're coming to you live from the Town Fair Tire Studios, powered by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody.